high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. For Jesus Christ has overcome. He's overcome death. He's overcome the grave. And he has put everything unto notice that he is the Lord of all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible, you will turn with me to Psalm 47 verse 1. I'm going to actually speak from Psalm 49 and Psalm 40, Psalm 50. I was going to say 40:10. There's nothing like that. I thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Four Sundays we've been talking about expression of worship. Today we want to talk about celebration of worship. It's not just a series that we are doing. It is something to help us to connect with God up close and personal and deeply. It's our duty, it's our responsibility, and it's our way of life to worship God. Remember, I did tell you that the chief end of man is to worship God and to enjoy him greatly. That's our chief end. Because one day when we get into the kingdom of God and before the throne room of God, we are going to worship him. We are going to praise him. So if you don't learn to do it here, how can we do it there? And we've taken you through the Bible. And I said I could have come from the viewpoint of a worship leader. But they are human beings. People express worship the way they feel or the way they know God. But when we go to the Bible, then we know where we are going. So I thank God for the worship leaders. I thank God for the musicians. I thank God for all these wonderful people that we have who make good news, good music. Then perhaps it is good to listen to what God says too. And we want to move away from where we come to church and we saw today worship wasn't good. Why? Because the song did not lift you up. Or because the song is not your taste. Or maybe you didn't like the way maybe a particular person stood on the stage. And therefore worship did not connect with you. I tell you what, in heaven you're not going to even have the chance to look at nobody to see how they look. Not that you're going to sit down to come in, wonder whether this song is my taste, my genre or not. Because each time I read from the Bible and I read also getting to even the end of the Bible, there was a focus on Jesus. There was a focus on God. There's a focus on the great victory that he has won for us. It's incredible. Because if you look at death, it's emotional, it is painful, it's a sense of loss, and it can weaken you. Sometimes it damages people for life. And this is the great power that our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome for us. For some of you, you've seen people die in pain and sicknesses and prayed and nothing happened, and it broke your heart. The victory that we have that will move the angels of heaven to worship with us is that there will be no more death. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. And this is a powerful victory. Hallelujah. He has overcome. So we stand in front of God and we'll be wearing the victor's crown. So our worship is about the victor's crown. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we don't have to wait until we go to heaven before we wear the victor's crown. We can start wearing the victor's crown right from here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, there's 150 psalms in the Bible, at least compilations of them. And I've said it many, many times that David didn't write all of them. He would have written about half of them. And the other half written by other musicians and other prophets and some even way before David was born. Are you following so far? And that is exactly that. But then we look at Psalms from the point of the fact that Psalms are prayers of the people. Psalms are lament of the people. Lament means the pain, the hurt, the distress that sometimes you feel. You hear it coming through the Psalms. Have you read something like that before? Sometimes the anger and the frustration that a writer feels, he just brings it out. Sometimes it's the song that is on his heart or her heart that was brought out. And sometimes it's the praise of our God that comes out through the Psalms. So the Psalms are prayers, laments, songs, and praise. But what I want to bring to your attention, mentioning David, is the authenticity with which these Psalms are written. That means they are genuine. People being themselves, not pretending, but standing before God and say, God, this is how I feel. See, sometimes we come to church and it's very easy for us to, whip everybody to want the person to feel hallelujah and just jump about. Sometimes it's not like that. Do you understand that? Sometimes you don't feel that way. But then also the fact that you don't feel that way doesn't mean that the other person sitting next to you cannot express himself or herself the way they feel. It could be somebody is so happy about some good news. And therefore, they need to express it to God. So when we gather like this, we come from various ways, but then we want to be authentic before our God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, these two psalms that we're going to talk about, Psalm 149 and 150, is one of six songs, or a group of six songs, called Psalms of Praise, or Praise Psalms. Or if you are into the Bible, we call it Psalter Psalms. Don't know what it means. It also means songs of praise. So Psalm 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, six of them, they're songs, the psalms that praises God predominantly. So if you look at it, each line starts with praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You can respond that way, you know. Praise the Lord. It celebrates the victory Jesus Christ has won. It's a song, it's a psalm of praise. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Praise the Lord. Each time we say praise the Lord, we respond by hallelujah. But hallelujah is two words from the Hebrew. Hallelujah. You get that? Hallelujah. Sometimes when you use the gadgets that you use, phones and other things, as soon as you type, it says hallelujah. Did you see that? You see, that is not Hebrew language. That comes from the Greek. But that is okay. We're happy with that. But the root word is hallelujah, meaning lift up His holy name, exalt Him, highly honored, highly exalted above all. So you can see that we say one word or two words to mean all this thing that we are talking about. So if you look at verse, you say, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Israel means the church, Christians, you who are gathered here. Rejoice in your maker. Let the people of Zion, Zion means the local place, South Street Baptist Church. Let them be glad in their king. Hallelujah. So lift and exalt Him. Highly honor Him. Because if somebody is highly honored, or you honor somebody highly, you bow before that person, don't you? You show your greatest respect towards that person. I mean, I'll be so surprised that anyone go and give the queen high five or give the knuckles or you shake the hand or you hold the hand like we do in our tradition and you give, as it were, a hug. I'm sure she doesn't hate us, but it would be quite uncommon to see that. You see, we need to show some kind of a honor and glory for who our King Jesus is. So we highly exalt him above all. And when we are worshiping God and when we come to the place where we highly exalt him and lift him above all, that means we lift him above all powers, all authorities, all principalities, all dominions, even our problems. No way. How come you lift it up? I have only 15 minutes left. I've just done 5 minutes. Not quite. Can you check your time and lift it up when it's 15 minutes, yeah? Thank you. So, here we are. We say you're highly exalted. So, somehow along the line, we are lifting our Lord Jesus Christ even above how we feel right now. You see, as I said, you're here, and you may have a problem. But you are lifting Jesus Christ above that when we are praising him. You're here and you are happy. And you say, God, I'll put you right at the top of my happiness. So if you put him at the top, what does he do? He draws you up, isn't it? And if you put him at the top of your problems, he scatters them. So that is what praise is all about for us, sons of God. He says, it is good to sing praises to our God. It is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant. Literally, it's a nice thing to do. But more than nice, it means it's the appropriate thing to do, to sing praises to our God. And it is fitting to praise God. When we say something is fitting, that is, it's in its right place. Yeah, if you go to the shop and you buy something from M&S or some poor shop, what do? Sometimes you go and do fittings first, don't you? You want to make sure that it fits you. You want to make sure that you fall into it. It is the right thing so that you can go home and feel so great about it and show your people with the labels and everything. So it is fitting for us to praise him. So, my brothers and sisters, it is appropriate, it's the right thing to do, it's in its place when we begin to praise God as people of God. It is in its place. So then, let's go to where we want to go. Psalm 149. It is fitting to praise him. So, it says that, sing praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sing praise. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Have we assembled here? Yes or no? Are you a saint of God? So if we are saint of God and we have assembled before him, the Bible says, what do? Sing a new song. Hallelujah. Sing a new song. That means we need to have a new revelation of our God. It means we have to have a new urge, impetus, and urgency concerning our God. And the song that we sing should give us a new meaning of who our God is. Sometimes we sing a song and we go through the motions. The lyrics are important. We've gone through the past 3 weeks, and I'm sure this has come true, and it's even come true better as you go through our daily devotions, because it gives us time to actually sit down and expand the Word of God a little bit more. So please, every day, Monday to Saturday, we send you daily devotions. Please, make sure that you read them and spend some time to worship God. In fact, it also gives us a chance to, actually as a prayer, to use lyrics of songs to pray, and to go on the internet and listen to those songs so that we can get into idea of worship. So if you are not doing that, you are denying yourself the power of worship. We want you to move away from where you sit. Oh, where is the worship team here? Why isn't there a band? Why isn't there that? We want to move away from that so that we can worship that. It's not just about, say, oh, the worship team didn't do well today. Oh, I didn't feel the worship today. But we began this series by saying that worship begins with the individual. So that means you have to learn to worship God at home as an individual, without no music, without no band, or with music if you're able to. You have to learn to praise God for every situation, and in your situation, you have to learn to bow the knee to our God. You have to learn to acknowledge who this God is and lift him up time and time again. So by the time that we gather together, you are full of praise and worship. So it doesn't take long, and the fire is lit in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. So time and time again, we have to. You see, do you see that it didn't say God? It says Lord. Have you noticed that? You see, that means focusing on Jesus. The praise of our Lord. We just sang a song which is saying that he overcome the death. He's overcome the victory. He's won the victory for us. Nothing could hold him. And therefore, we have to sing the victor's song. So, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. And who is our king? Jesus. Who is our king? Jesus. So let Israel, let the people of God, we are not talking about Israel as a nation out there. We're talking about you as the church of God. Let us rejoice in our king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Really? Yes. With dancing. And make what? Music with him. To him with tambourines and harps. Let the church, let the local church, let the community praise his name with dancing. That means that when you meet, there should be a sense of joy in your heart. You may be thinking, oh no, I woke up and maybe my wife just got me upset. Well, today my wife didn't. But then it could be somebody else who got you upset. But the Bible is saying we have to praise God. There should be a sense of joy in us. And you see, nobody wakes up dancing unless there's something for you to dance about. Yes or no? Exactly. So there's got to be something for you to want to dance about. There's got to be something. When you wake up in the morning and you see yourself standing, God has blessed you. God has watched over you. God has given you life once again. And that is the cause for you to say, thank you, Jesus. That's the cause for celebration. Because sometimes I see people getting older and older and older. And people who are so young and vibrant and could run, this day they can't run no more. You have to hold them to get up. And simple things that you and me do is more challenging for them. You look at things like that, and you look at yourself, and you have something to praise God about. Some struggle to move about, and they can't. And you find it that easy. Some can't even eat, and they want to. Some even don't have food to eat, and they want to eat. And we have it. There's something for you to praise God about. Amen. We have to thank God for these things. So for that reason, praise God with dancing, it says. Praise him with dancing and with tambourines and with harps. You see, God is also bringing sound into our assembly. We have to praise our Jesus with sound. And we know the tambourine will have some percussion with it. And will have some what do we call it, skin on it. So God is talking about drums, he's talking about percussions. So for us to celebrate our God, we have to bring in percussions, we have to bring in tambourines, and we have to bring in harps. So God is also thinking about a stringed instrument in your worship. Are you with me? The stringed instrument must come in your worship. The rhythm guitar, the lead guitar, the electric guitar, the bass guitar, whatever guitar it is, acoustic, let it be in there. Let those stringed instruments come through. When it talks about lyre, we're talking about, your violin should come through. You see, and this is a long time ago, before some of these instruments were ever invented. But do you remember in Exodus 15 when we started, tambourine was there, wasn't it? So God has been thinking about it. And as we preach and as we talk about it, we told you that instrument makes sounds. You see, today, even as we are using this audio sound, how did you know that is the song they were going to sing? Because it was communicating to you and you could hear the sound, isn't it? It was clear, there's no doubt what song we wanted to sing. Let it make music to our God. And the idea of making brings a present tense. Let's make music to Him. Let's make sure that we are active in what we are doing. So, if we are making music, we cannot not be active, is it? So, it is not about whether the song is slow or the song is fast. Some worship leaders have taught us that if the song is fast, that means praise songs. When it is slow, that means worship songs. I beg you, that is not what Scripture says. Do you understand that? You can be praising God and the song is as slow as a snail. It is the words of it and who you are raising that song to that matters. You see, music is to bring us tempo. It is appeal to our souls and our spirit and make us respond to it. And sometimes we respond with tears. Sometimes we respond with energy. Sometimes we respond with laughter. Sometimes we respond with words. For the Lord takes delight in His people. So what we are saying is that when we are worshiping God, God is pleased with that. He is happy with that. And in His people, you are part of His people. So as an individual, God takes delight in you. So He look at you and say, you know what? That is my son. Angels, I want you to see. That's my daughter. I want you to acknowledge this. That is. And during that time, if you're going through a difficulty, God said, that is my son. And if you're the son of the God of all glory, why will God look at you to stay in your tears forever? Why will God look at you for you to be in your pain forever? So when we gather in an assembly like this and we raise music to our God, it's for us to bring our hearts and our souls, pour it out to Him. As we praise Him, we lift Him up above all things and we put the enemy down. We raise our God. And as we do that, God comes true to us. He put His arm around us. He comes to envelop us. He comes to say, you know what, I rejoice with you. I'm happy with you. How many of you were not? Last week, a daughter of one of my nephews, none of us thought she would even ever dream of going to college, let alone university. And she got admitted to a university. Everybody I know rang me to let me know that this child has made it. And anyone who phoned was so happy. Because I was somebody who effectively at some point was with the social services. And the person actually had A's and B's to go to uni. Who would have thought that? And everybody was happy. Everybody was dancing. Everybody was coming. Even those who hated her and thought she was, for no good, were actually this time praising her. And I'm thinking, really? You see, so worship is for God to come alongside us and to put his arm around us, whether we are hopeless, whether we are hopeful, whether we are victors, we are losers, he comes around us to lift us up and said, I rejoice with you. If you are happy, I rejoice with you. If you are sad, I'm sad with you. By the end of the day, I want to lift you up. Because Isaiah 61 tells us, for the Spirit of the living God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to you. And for those of you who sit and are bruised, I'm come to heal you. And those who mourn, I'm coming to give you a garment of praise instead of spirit for ashes, a spirit of ashes. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Now, you can take it two ways. You see, it will take somebody who humbles himself or herself to praise somebody. You understand that? You see, if you are not humble, you cannot have the king or the queen as your head of state. I'm not against royalists. I'm not against Republicans. Neither do I say that I'm a royalist, but I believe in the system that we have. And I believe and respect the queen that we have. Because if you will not learn to respect your queen here, how can you say respect God? Because the things are in heaven, as it is in heaven, so shall it be here on earth. So if you're seeing that kingdom here, and if you are seeing the queen here, and you can't respect the queen, how can you say you respect God? You're a hypocrite, are you? You're not humble. So if you cannot humble yourself to respect our Lord Jesus Christ, then how can you be crowned with salvation? Salvation means taken away from problems, being rescued from anything that will harm you. So as we worship God, God crowns us. That means we humble ourselves. We lift God above us. We say, God, you are bigger than us. You are greater than us. You are more powerful than us. You are glorious than us. You've achieved more than we can ever dream of. You are the one who wears the victor's crown. But then you have decided that you are going to crown us with salvation. Hallelujah. He has decided he's going to crown you with salvation. So let's do that. He will crown us with salvation. And that's what our Lord says. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. Let the saints rejoice. You see, rejoice that God has crowned you with salvation. Rejoice that God is sealing you for eternal life. Rejoice that God is going to get you out of trouble. Rejoice that he is coming alongside you to help you out. That is why we have a reason to worship God. And therefore, when we worship him, we release a supernatural power which is above all, which is greater than all, which is beyond all comprehension. We release that supernatural power into our realm. Your atmosphere, you release that into it. And when you continue to worship God, you know what? You are just released in a powerful way that the enemy cannot overcome you. You see, sometimes we stay in our problems for too long because we worship too little. If you worship God, you are always bringing something bigger, bigger and more powerful into your situation. Want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us then rejoice in this honor, because God has honored you with that, and sing for joy on their beds. So he's trying to tell you that it's not only in church that you can praise God, but you can praise God in your homes. You wake up in the morning and you are singing to God on your bed. And in recent weeks, I've heard two people who've died that we know very, very close as a church, that when they were just about dying, their family was singing to them, singing praises to God with them. And this is an amazing thing, an amazing experience. So in our worship, now you can see that we are talking about music, we are talking about songs. So somehow along the line, in a community worship, even in our private homes, song cannot be taken out of it. Do you understand that? Songs cannot be taken out of this. We have to bring in songs into our worship. Because song is sometimes it is difficult for you to pray or even speak in tongues. But a song can communicate the depth of your heart and the innermost being of your soul, what you feel there and then. You can. Because the times when you can't pray, you can sing. Times that you cannot even do any other thing, you can't read, you can sing. Because that is another facet. God wants to hear your voice when it comes to worshiping. Let us sing and rejoice in that honor. Let us sing for the joy. Let us sing for joy on our beds. May the praise of God be in our mouth. That means God is saying, look, how often do you want to praise me? You cannot stop praising God. We have to thank God all the time. We have to be thankful to God in every situation. Because the Bible tells us, said, in everything, be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Be thankful at all times to God. So let praise be in your mouth. If somebody has done something good for you, do you hear yourself always telling somebody, oh, you know Brother Dwayne, he's such a nice guy. Apart from one person, everybody knows he's nice. He's a very nice guy. And everybody's singing his praises. Mr. Gallimore is a very good man. Actually, he's a good man. Isn't that Mr. Gallimore? He's a very good man. So, here we are. We sing people's praises because we see some goodness in them. We see some greatness in them. We see something that we aspire to. So for that reason, we let praise be in our mouth. And that when we praise God, it becomes like a double-edged sword in our hands. Are you listening? You see, as you praise God, the praise becomes a double-edged sword in your hand. So you can cut that way, you can cut that way. Everywhere the enemy comes, you turn. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the angels were holding the sword with fire, and then Adam couldn't go back because everywhere he turned, they said the sword turned. A double-edged sword. It can cut anyway. So our praise is a double-edged sword. Wherever the enemy turns against you, the praise turns against the enemy. It tells him you can't come. You hold a sword of fire in the presence, in the entrance to your garden, that the enemy cannot come and spoil your fruit and your joy and your peace in your garden. And why is that double-edged sword in your hand? To inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with feathers and their nobles with shackles of iron. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, one of the readings that we did in Joshua chapter 6, see, when the people were going through around the wall of Jericho, the Bible said that now when you come and you blow the trumpets and you shout, for the Lord has put a ban on things. What does it mean? That means God has earmarked that city for destruction. So when you praise God, you put a ban on those things that are obstacles in your way. Those walls, those Jerichos, and those things that will prevent your happiness and your joy. The trouble that you're having at home, the trouble that you're having at work, some of the things that is just not going well, your children that they are going all over the place, you place a ban on them and you say, look, whatever is behind this, I put a ban on it, you are destined for destruction. It's just like seeing a derelict building or maybe a building that is not safe, you put in what? A notice that this is notice for what? Destruction, keep away, dangerous place. So you put a ban and nobody knows to go in because that building is going to be bulldozed down or it's going to be blown down. So your worship put a ban on the works of the evil one. It puts a ban on the issues that is facing you. It put a ban on sicknesses. It put a ban on sorrow. It put a ban on anything that stands in your way and prevents you from actually inheriting the promised land. Because Jericho was in front of the people, preventing them from going in there to possess their possessions. And God had to put a ban on it. And as they worship around the buildings, and as they sang around the buildings, as they blow the trumpets, as they blew the horns, and as they raise the songs of praise, what happened? The walls came down. So we want to worship God this way. That's what our worship does. So if you sit here and you say, I don't know how to worship, you know what? The bands are going to, the obstacles are going to be there. Sometimes you can pray as much as you like, unless you put a ban on them to carry out the sentences written against them. That's what God said. He said, I'm going to destroy the city. That's God's sentence. This is the glory of all the saints. I like this bit. Said, this is the glory of all the saints. That means this is your inheritance. This is the icing on the cake for you. It is yours to take. That I'm going to do that. And to end by saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, according to the young people, probably I must have about 10 minutes according to my clock here too. So let's push this forward and look at Psalm 50. 150. What is this psalm telling us? It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. So that means when you begin to worship God in his sanctuary, in the mighty heavens, the angels are praising God too with you. So if you are not doing it, it's not happening. And if it is happening, it should happen here. Do you get it too? So that means when you praise God, there's a unity of spirit. One of the readings that we brought to you was, Genesis chapter 28, about Jacob and his ladder. It literally was a heavenly connection to the earthly connection. And so, therefore, when we praise God in his sanctuary, we are connecting heaven to the earth. We're connecting the things of God into the things that matters to us, and God comes through for us. That's why we say he inhabits the praises of Israel. And most people say he inhabits the praise of his people. That particular expression is not in there, but inhabits in the praise of Israel. But Israel is what? His people, isn't it? So you are. God inhabits or dwells in your praises. So as you lift his holy name up, he basks in them. He glorifies in them. And therefore, he comes to inhabit in it. That means God comes closer and closer and closer to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. And I told you the other day that trumpet gives the clearest of sound. And therefore, the powers of darkness hear it. The angels of heaven hear it. Every enemy of yours hears that sound, and they have no reason not to know it. And when our fathers were going to war, they used to play the trumpets. And therefore, the enemy knows exactly what they are saying. The time of Gideon, the trumpets was played, and you know exactly what they are saying. God chose the trumpet or the horn for a specific reason because of its clarity of message that it communicates. So you see another instrument being introduced in worship. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with a harp, stringed instrument again, and violins again. Praise him with tambourines again, and with dancing again. Praise him with the strings and flute, and praise him with the clash of cymbals. Now, where do we have the clash of cymbals? Isn't that there? So God is trying to tell us. So that's why I'm always saying that, look, somehow along the line, in a corporate worship like this, there's got to be sound. There's got to be clash of cymbals. There's got to be harps. There's got to be tambourine. There's got to be music and some other things. And I beg to say it again that it is scriptural to make a joyful noise to our God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is scriptural to dance before your God. It is scriptural. Because this musical instrument, I've said this in the past few weeks, that it communicates a clear sound. You see, when you play these drums and the bass, it hits your soul like nothing before. It can lift you up, not literally, but you just can't stand on your feet when the music is going properly and there's a bass going properly and the drums going properly. Your body will move. Even when you are stone, you will turn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, God chose this. You see, because when we are happy, the enemy gets confused. Because when you see a group of people on the street and happy and dancing, you see people looking at them and think, what's wrong with it? What's going on? What's going on? They get all confused about it. That's the whole idea. Because when you go to Isaiah chapter 9, it says the battle of the warrior is with confused noise. Garments roll in blood. That means what we have clothed ourselves is the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we praise God, we are in a battle with the enemy and we bring confused noise. They become so confused. And when your enemy is confused, then you are going to overcome him. Isn't it? So, praise is a battle. Praise is a warrior song. Praise, it comes with a confused noise. And we have to praise God. So, church, I'll pray with you. And I pray that this summer holidays, you begin to pray seriously. That we have live bands in this church. Don't let the neighbors hold you to ransom. I'm preaching this. I want them to go and listen. Don't let them hold you to ransom. Don't let nobody hold you to ransom. Because if you are preventing yourself from having a live band in the church, you are preventing the community praise according to Scripture from happening. Are you following? I'm saying what is written in the Bible. Because each time you see the people of God assembled, there is music. Make music. Music is the lyrics, the songs, the rhythms, the harmonies, and all that goes with it. I'm not a musician, so I don't know much. I can't even read a music note. If you show it to me, I wouldn't even know what it is. And therefore, I can't tell you what a musician will say about worship, but I can tell you what the Bible says about worship. And that much, I'm confident. So please pray. And if you feel uncomfortable about live music, probably you have to find a different God to worship. You understand that? And if you are becoming too comfortable with where we are, then please, you are holding the church back somehow. Is that true? Because this is what the Bible said. Praise him with, where's the tambourine? Where's the cymbals? Where's the music that we have to make? Make music. Live, make means live, active. We have to make music. Are we making music? We're listening to music. Did you get it? That's the difference. Make music. So that's what Scripture says, my brothers and sisters. You see, for some, worship is only about the songs. And I've been to churches, probably I may say I'll sometimes probably take their bands. They're not having one. But I go and they play so beautiful music. People dance and dance until they sweat. And they come and sit down. At some point, I've seen them, as soon as they came to sit, they were sleeping. They've danced too much that they were so tired. So they couldn't even hear. I mean, this is true. Seriously, not in Africa, not in the Caribbean, here in London. About 3 times. Been to weddings and functions, the people were dancing so much, praising God and all over in the front and everything. As soon as they sat down, they went to sleep. That's not what God is talking about. Let's raise a song that is beautiful. Let's raise a song that is powerful. Let's raise a song that lifts the name of Jesus Christ. Let's raise a song that tells our story as individuals. Let's raise songs from our hearts unto God so that we can wear the victor's crown, so that we can have a double-edged sword in our hands. We want to praise our God. So praise him with stringed instrument. Where are we now? Verse 3. Praise him with sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourines and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. This time it may be, that means meaning louder and louder and louder. I mean, let everything that has breath Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dead people don't praise God. You know that? They don't talk. Praise Him. Some people want to praise God, but because they are dumb, they can't. But God has given you a voice to praise Him. So when it comes to the time of praise, we are not just looking for musicians to praise God. We are going to praise Him as well. We're going to sing as well. We're going to lift our voices as well. We're going to dance as well. We're going to respond as well. Our whole being is going to respond as well. I'll end this by just quoting one verse from the Bible, Psalm 148, verse 14. So He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. You see, that means that when you raise up a horn, that means a symbol of strength. That means when you praise Him here, God will raise up for His people strength. Strength. And that will be coming from the praise of His saints and of Israel, His church, the people close to His heart. For that reason, we will praise the Lord. Amen.